The lesson for this first Sunday of Lent is Genesis 9. The lesson begins. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for full generations, all generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of the Lord. The epistle for this first Sunday of Lent is 1 Peter chapter 3. The lesson begins. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water and baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, and who is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, here we are at Lent, that dreaded time of year where for 40 days we have to give up chocolate because God hates chocolate. And then, after we appease him for 40 days, we're good for the rest of the year. So, pretty good deal. That's not really what Lent's about, I hope you know that. Lent is actually, this may surprise you, but it really is the most selfish time in the church year. Because the whole rest of the year, what you hear about Sunday after Sunday is, "Look at the poor. Look at the oppressed. Look at the widow. Look at the lonely. See the suffering. See the hurting." But in these 40 days, you hear, "Look at yourself." And it's not to just look at yourself. Don't go home and stand in front of the mirror.
It's about looking inside yourself. And that's where that whole idea of giving up chocolate came from. It's part of, well, let's give up something as a way to improve ourselves. You know, I have a very dear friend who's, she wouldn't admit it, but she's not alcoholic. And every year, come Lent, she gives up alcohol. And then at the end of Lent, she goes right back to drinking and says, see, I just proved I wasn't an alcoholic. That's not it. That's not how you give up something. We're not giving up something to make God happy. What we're doing is looking at ourselves and improving who we are. We're making ourselves better tools for God to use the rest of the year in the service of the hungry, the hurting, the lonely, the oppressed. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us, if we use it, to really look at ourselves. Now, I want to give you a challenge this year. Recently, on Facebook, actually downloaded it, I've been using it myself, I came across from one of the atheist sites that I really liked this meeting I had that said, if your religion doesn't want you to ask questions, they're hiding something. Well, I want you to ask questions. I really do. We need, that's part of that self-examination. And one thing that we often don't think to look at is, who is God? Who is God to me? We think of it, you know, just sort of something that's like, well, you know, this is, my neighbor is my neighbor. But your spouse is someone you keep learning about, don't you? And doesn't your spouse still surprise you after 30 years, 40 years? Good Lord. Because you're still learning. You're in relationship. A dynamic, growing relationship. Now God, in some ways, is what we take as we see as the best, the highest, the most wonderful. And we project it up there and we call that God, our image of God. And that in a way guides us. But if we do it consciously, if we're willing to spend some time looking at that relationship, then it affects us as to what we're aspiring for, what we're reaching for. Let me give you I've told this story before, but hey, we've got some new people here, so I haven't missed you. And I want to go a little deeper with it this time than I have in the past. If you know my spiritual journey, I started out, you know, in a regular mainline church, but in the little town I lived in, the only entertainment was really to go to more conservative churches. And so I got very involved. Became more and more conservative and more judgmental and harsh. And a lot of it was because deep inside was I didn't like to admit to myself, and definitely didn't want to admit to God or anybody else, I was a gay kid. And I felt like, well, you know, if God is busy looking at all the faults in other people, it won't seem like it. I didn't say that. It sort of seemed to be, and that was the image of God I had. That God was up there judging, condemning, had this narrow, fine line you had to walk. If you didn't stay on it, you weren't in God's favor at all. Well, then I went to did a year abroad in Israel when I was in college. I went to a very conservative college. And while I was there, it was the first time in my life, because I grew up on a farm in western Pennsylvania, it was the first time in my life I knew people that weren't at least nominally Christian. And it was those people that God was going to gleefully send to hell. You know, that's what I'd learned about. This God, these wonderful Jewish friends that I made, these wonderful Muslim friends I made, these wonderful atheist friends I made, who were better people than a lot of the Christians I knew back home, going to be sent to heaven. Man, it just aided me and aided me. And I reached a point where I just couldn't stand God and be, you know, okay. I was a little dramatic. And I got on the bus and I went out into the Negev desert, got off, and, you know, just like we read about today, Jesus went in the wilderness for 40 days. That lasted a weekend. But when I came back from that weekend, I had changed because I killed God. I couldn't stand to hate God, but I did. For God sending all these people I love to hell. So I decided, well, since I can't hate God, there just isn't one. And that's what I came back with. And yet that was the first step in examining who God is. By getting rid of all those unhelpful things that I have picked up as to who God is, it made room for that real God that I learned about in Sunday school when I was a little kid in a regular mainline church to come back to me. All those songs about God being about love, God caring about each one of us, slowly God came back in to refill that hole that was in my heart. And since then, I have been very careful to keep track of who I'm saying God is. To be honest to the scriptures that talk about the love of God. To be honest to this whole movement of God through history, moving and shoving and urging us to be a more loving people until we become God's kingdom in its fullness. And since that's my vision of God, that's how I aspire to live myself. To not be a judgmental jerk. To be someone who reaches out in compassion and says, hey, I understand. Let me help you out. That's the goal of Lent. I learned about myself by learning about my understanding of who God is. So if you want to take on one discipline this year, what I'd like to encourage you to do is spend some time looking at how you understand God to be. Is it really in accord with what we teach here on Sundays, what you hear in church, what you sing about? Or is it something else that you picked up and is unconsciously pushing you in negative directions in your relationships with other people and with yourself? Now, I'm not saying this isn't scary. It is. But we have this wonderful call that comes up every year, the first Sunday of Lent. I love when this prayer comes up. That we may each find you mighty to save. And you will. You will find that as scary as it is to give up some of your understandings, what's on the other side is so beautiful, and you don't have to get there yourself. God will go with you. Find God, might say. And then, as you define that God, act on that. Use that as your highest aspiration. You know, right now we're dealing with another heartbreak. Another school shooting. Oh, God. As you decide what to say, what to do, what not to say, what not to do, keep in mind those highest aspirations that are your God. What are they calling you to do? What are they calling you to say, feel, to react? I can't tell you. You have to decide that in conversation with your God. But make sure, use this line, that you have a good understanding of who that God is. May each one of us find God, Mike,